If it's too late to worry and you're too blue to cry, then get ready for Dr. Lori Roth. She's a PhD, black belt, host, singer, songwriter, mom, gun owner, survivor, and red-blooded American through and through. From 3,000 feet up in the mountains of Washington, it's the Annie Oakley of the airwaves. Ready or not, here she comes, Dr. Lori Roth.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very fabulous Friday edition of The Roth Show. Once again, I'm not Annie Oakley, and I'm not Lori Roth. Lori's taking care of some business today, and she asked me to take the helm of her program, the entire three-hour show today of The Roth Show, and I'm glad to do so. Folks, you know me. My name's Doug Hagman. I'm the co-host every Friday with Lori on The Roth Show, and I'm also the founder and director of the Northeast Intelligence Network at HomelandSecurityUS.com. If I sound rushed right now, I am, because we've got a very, very special guest on for a very limited time. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who have listened to this show, my other show, but this show in particular, you have heard me talk about him in glowing terms. You have heard me quote from his book, Israelistein. You have heard me direct you to his website, prophecydepot.com. You have heard me talk about this gentleman's insight based on his research, and I've got to tell you, spiritual insight. Having said that, I want to bring on Mr. Bill Salas, again, the founder of Prophecy Depot, like Home Depot, but prophecydepot.com. Again, his name is Bill Salas. He's the author of Israelistein, here to make sense and here to give us insight into what is taking place across the Middle East from a biblical proportion. In other words, where prophecy meet current events. Mr. Salas, welcome to the Roth Show. It's my pleasure to have you on, sir.
Well, Doug, thank you for that kind introduction.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can go on for another 5 minutes and have you on for five programs straight because you've got so much to offer. I know your time is limited. I thank you very much for appearing on short notice. And I've got to tell you, I've received a lot of emails from the shows I've done about the Middle East and about prophecy and about the various prophetic events that we're watching unfold before our very eyes. These are the issues that the mainstream media is not covering. You know, and folks, let me just really quick interject this because this is our initial short segment. I just want to say this. I had plans for an entirely different show today. And, you know, call it what you will, investigative instinct or God's hand in my life, I had this overwhelming need to bring Mr. Salas on today. And I don't know if it's to reach 1 or 100 or 1,000 people, but that's why he's on. I have to say that I believe that there's something brewing here. There's some divine things taking place in the Middle East. We've got next week. We've got this NABCA, the celebration the liberation of Palestine summer coming up or being sprung. Let's start off with that, Mr. Salas. First of all, welcome to the Roth Show. And where can we start here? How can we make sense of what's going on here in the Middle East?
Well, we can start to kind of make some sense. Initially, as these Arab protests started to spring forward, starting with Lebanon on January 13th, actually, some people think it started with Tunisia on January 15th, but Lebanon, the Hezbollah collapsed the Lebanese government on January 13th, and then 2 days later, Tunisia had their protests, and the first time ever in Arab history, an Arab dictator was overthrown by popular revolt. We had Zine El Abidin Ben Ali step down, and then most of your listeners have probably watched it and got...
I told you this was a short segment. Hang on just one moment. Folks, you're listening to The Roth Show. We're going to be back right after these messages.
the ultimate exploring and shopping experience. Finally, a site where beauty and mystery meet perfectly. No more wondering about what to get for that person who has absolutely everything. At 4physics.com, you will find everything from light crystals, self-powered all-purpose radios, Aqua Teen sundials, plasma balls, to lab equipment, educational resources, and much more. Prepare to spend a very, very long time at 4physics.com. At this amazing site, the mystery of science translates beautifully into all kinds of resources, gifts, and unique treasures that will really give you a whole lot of something to talk about. Get nerdy with it and show all your friends, family, and coworkers that science really is more fun. Display that light crystal or plasma ball while serenading your visitors on your self-powered radio. That's 4physics.com. Be there or be nowhere. Are you looking to buy gold and silver, but don't know who to trust? I'm Dr. Lori Roth, and let me tell you about GainesvilleCoins.com. Gainesville Coins has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, and not only that, but they are a 3-time recipient of the 5-star award for Best Bullion Dealer from the National Inflation Association. GainesvilleCoins.com has one of the largest selections of bullion for all your needs and can be purchased directly from their website. If you are ready to save money now for your future, visit GCIGold.com. Where customer service is as important as the customer. That's GCIGold.com. Or you can reach a trader directly at 813-482-9300. That's 813-482-9300. Gainesville Coins is your triple threat against poverty, with excellent service, the best prices, and top-flight reputation. So get prepared and plan ahead at GainesvilleCoins.com or call 813-482-9300.
Doug Hagman, one guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Roth Show on a very special program, Friday, the third day of June in the year 2011. My special guest is Bill Salas. Ladies and gentlemen, during the time that Mr. Salas has, the limited time because of the time constraints, we're not going to be taking any phone calls because I certainly want to have Mr. Salas give as much information out about what is taking place across the Middle East and how it's going to affect the current events and affect us as Christians and Jews and believers in God and believers in Bible prophecy. So if you can hold your calls until the top of the second hour, I'd appreciate that. But meanwhile, if you're by a computer right now, go directly to prophecydepot.com. Bill Salas, that's his website, and of course, folks, if you don't have the book Israelistein, you need to have it in your library if you're a Christian or even if you're just curious. You've got to buy the book, buy it today, read it, learn it, because it's in my library. In fact, I've got 2 copies, I will shortly have a third, hopefully, if I have to ask him if it's going to be on an e-book format. But anyway, Mr. Salas, welcome back to the Roth Show.
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, now we were talking right before that break during the short segment about, first went Lebanon on January 13th, second went Tunisia on January 15th. Of course, Lebanon's not talked about as much as Tunisia is starting to be the spark plug as to what's going on across the Middle East. Let's pick it up from there. Go ahead. I'm going to let you roll.
Okay. And, you know, rather, since time is short, we won't do a whole history on the Arab protest. But, you know, of course, Egypt was what caught most everybody's attention, and that was in the month of January as well. And really what we started to realize that this was a springboard for a whole flurry of Arab protests that went through Jordan, Bahrain, Yemen, even parts of Iran. Syria, of course, is still going on. It's very deadly over there right now. But what you had now is, because it's now morphed and carried over into the spring, it's now being called the Arab Spring. And it's all been motivated by a youth bulge. Most of the Middle East, the preponderance of it is under 30 years old, most of them. And the social networks available through the Internet, like Facebook and YouTube, have given the youth an opportunity to see outside of the confines of 7th century Islam and state-censored media, to see what's going on. And a lot of liberal pundits are saying, well, it looks like they're just simply pursuing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and they're hoping that democracies will spring forward throughout the Middle East. However, it hasn't taken long to see the dust settle that that isn't really where this apparently is going to go. I'm going to quote something for you I find interesting. I posted it on an article just recently, and it's relative to what the organizers are saying about a upcoming protest on NAKSA Day, N-A-K-S-A Day, which is Arabic for the Day of Setback. You know, they had a NAKSA Day, which meant the Day of Disaster or Catastrophe, which was on May 15th, where the Arabs, primarily the Palestinian refugees, were commemorating when they actually became Palestinian refugees in 1948. And 13 protesters were killed, 10 by Lebanon and 3 by Israel, as they marched across toward the borders of Israel. Well, they've got another one being organized, probably of a much larger scale, coming up, starting as soon as perhaps this Sunday, June 5th, on through early into next week. And the organizers are quoting things like the process of empowerment and liberation, which started in Tunisia and Egypt, should end with the liberation of Jerusalem and Palestine. Palestine will be liberated from the river to the sea and the sea to the river. And, Doug, what they're referring to there is the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. They're talking about liberating Palestine. They're not talking about promoting a two-state solution with land swaps and equitable peace pacts. They're not wanting Israel and the Palestinians to coexist in their own states. Not these organizers, anyway. They're wanting to liberate Palestine. And the reason that catches my attention is there are Bible prophecies that speak to that very point. In Psalm 83, we have a Arab confederacy, a prophecy that was written in a psalm 3,000 years ago by Asaph, who was a seer or a prophet, one of David's worship leaders back then. He wrote a psalm that talked about a confederacy coming together, forming shrewd, crafty counsel to destroy Israel, that the name Israel would be remembered no more. And he goes on to list who the participants of the confederacy are going to be in the vernacular of his time. He had Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites. I don't think they had Gigabites or Kryptonites back then, but you know, he had all the ites back then. And who they turn out to be today. And it looks like this prophecy has not found final fulfillment. So that's why we're very curious about it today. And it is a central theme, as you know, Doug, of my book, is Palestine. But who he's talking about today are the very people where the protests are going on, that share common borders with Israel. It's very volatile. Of course, it's got Israel extremely concerned. And this would be including the Palestinians, the Hezbollah, the Hamas, Lebanese, the Syrians, probably the Iraqis as well. Jordanians, Saudi Arabians, and it appears even Egyptians are involved in this. And so this is very concerning, because when you start hearing claims that they want to liberate Palestine, they don't necessarily want a two-state solution. They want one more Arab state in the region. They want to call it Palestine. We're starting to see now that this attitude, even though it may have been noble in the beginning with the youth bulge, is a movement that's being driven by anti-Semitism, Islamic hatred of the Jews, and this is the concern, because the Bible speaks of a war that will be a game changer on the world scene. And it, to my estimation, we could be seeing this formulating before our very eyes, Doug. So that's a little bit of it in a nutshell. They're calling it the Arab Spring, but it looks like it's going to warp into the Liberate Palestine Summer and perhaps the Winter War. So this is my concern.
Wow, you encapsulated that better than I could have ever done. Now, every time I do talk about this issue, Bill, and hopefully you don't mind me calling you Bill, do you?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Every time I talk about this issue and we get into it, I always get the question, what is America's role? What role is America playing in this? And specifically, what role is Obama and the Hillary State Department playing in this, if any? And the second part to that question is, where is America in biblical prophecy? I don't know if you care if I'm kind of going out of order here, but because of the shortness of time, I wanted to answer those people who have, I mean, I've got literally hundreds of emails to asking those questions. And can we address any of that? Would you feel comfortable addressing any of that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I seldom get to a prophecy conference question and answer session without that question coming up. Where's America in all this, and where's American Bible prophecy? Which, by the way, it is very hard to find American Bible prophecy. You find Israel, Russia, Yemen, you find all kinds of places in Bible prophecy, especially influence Bible prophecy. But where's America? That is quite the question. There's a few good books out on that subject that if your listeners are interested, Late Great United States by Dr. Mark Hitchcock, American Apocalypse by Terry James, and America the Beautiful by Dr. David Reagan. Those are great books. I've had an opportunity to interview them all on my radio show, and they make good points. But the point is this. I'll try to get, if we have time, to talk about America's role in Bible prophecy or lack of therein. But let's talk about Obama for a moment. You know, he recently made it sound like he wanted to have some land swaps and suggested that Israel's national security was at the forefront of his concerns and America's concerns. But in the process, he threw the option of giving up land swaps and having the Jews, Israel, give back land that they acquired in 1967, which, by the way, this Naxa Day of Setback protest that I spoke about earlier is regarding that 1967 war where that land was accomplished, you know, with Israel annexed quite a bit of land during that six-day war. And this is what's being protested by these protesters on Naxa Day protesters. So, and you need, your listeners definitely need to be watching for that, because that could get bloody, just like the other one did on May 15th recently. But the point is, that's a big deal to be wanting to give up land that would really pretty much make Israel's existence very threatened. Those are, Israel needs that land to be defense, those are defensible portions of land. Now, when Obama did that, it pretty much forced Benjamin Netanyahu, who flew over here and spoke to Congress, I believe it was on May 27th, to pretty much go all in, put his poker chips forward, show his cards on the table, and basically announce, you know, that's not an option. We're not giving the land back, and we're not allowing Palestinian refugees to come back inside of Israel, no matter what size Israel is. And he listed out a whole flurry of these won't happen type things, like Easter, like Jerusalem will continue to be the undivided capital of Israel. You know, these are sticking points that the Palestinians are wanting to negotiate through toward their favor, which will not happen now, according to Benjamin Netanyahu. So now, really, the cards are all on the table. Peace is becoming less and less an option, and as such, you have the Palestinians forming a unnatural unity agreement between Hamas and Fatah with the intent of trying to get a state declared through the United Nations this summer, August or September, with independent of negotiating with Israel. And so, you know, you got these things developing where things are going to be forced to the forefront, where they can no longer just, you know, sit across the table and say, well, maybe we can talk and have a peace. We've got a very dangerous situation developing. And it's these protests, of course, are just accelerating the whole scenario. Now, as far as America goes, the concern there is Obama is treading dangerous spiritual waters by giving up land, by offering to give up land. And that takes us back to Genesis 12, verse 3 in the Bible, where God laid out 4,000 years ago his foreign policy for all the Gentile nations. He told Abraham, and this goes on through Isaac and Jacob and extrapolates on into their descendants, the Jewish people today, he said that he would bless those that bless Israel, and he would curse those who curse them. And the Hebrew words say he must curse them who curse Israel. And the point being is that the land, we understand from Genesis 15:18, that was given to Abraham and his descendants, extends from the river of Egypt, the Nile, on through the river Euphrates, which courses through modern-day Iraq and Syria. Now, they don't occupy all that presently, and they are starting to get more of it, excuse me, as per 1967. But Obama wants to work with the international community in compliance with the Saudi Peace Initiative, which is to bring and shrink Israel's borders to try to bring peace between the Palestinians and the Jews. Well, he's divvying up God's land, and it's not blessing Israel. It's on the cursed side of Israel. It's making Israel's existence come under threat. So it's interesting that every time an American president wants to start negotiating land for peace, and this will take you back to George Bush, and I believe it was 2005 with the when the Gaza, they pulled all the Jewish settlers out. Well, we had, you know, when the last settler was pulled out, storm clouds brewed over the Atlantic, and we had our worst national disaster in our history, Hurricane Katrina hit. And look at all the things that are going on now with our financial mess and our mortgage meltdown and the record-breaking tornadoes and things like that. Some of us are wondering if we're not bringing upon some wrath on this country by our leadership's decision to hinder Israel. And
that's
the long and short of that.
That's a great stopping point there. Folks, you're listening to Bill Salas, author of Israelistein, on The Roth Show, a very, very special guest on a very special program today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back after these short messages. We have got Bill for another segment. Stay with us.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days, 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Doug Hagman, one guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Roth Show. Yes, there was a coup today. I'm taking over for Lori Roth, my very special guest for this segment of the hour is Mr. Bill Salas of ProphecyDepot.com. Folks, we're talking about biblical prophecy, Israel, current events, Arab Spring. What this all means to those people who can see what's going on well beyond the mainstream media, what they talk about. This is the program. This is the segment. And by the way, this segment or this program will be archived on therothshow.com. So be sure to not only listen to this again, tell your friends, family, neighbors about Mr. Salas's website, prophecydepot.com. Because of our limited time, I'm going to bring Bill back and, Bill, we were talking right before the break about America and biblical prophecy, and of course, Measure for Measure, the calamities. You know, our involvement in actually making Israel give up land or strong arming them, and they're giving up land and bad things happening. Of course, you know the predominant question now is where is America in biblical prophecy? And I know we're short on time, so I'll just let you loose and take it away.
Well, as you know, we could spend quite a bit of time talking about that particular topic. So what I think I would do to sort of summarize it in a nutshell is to direct people to my website, prophecydepot.com, because I have posted on there the three books I mentioned in the earlier segment, And they can actually hear the radio interviews with the authors of those books, and they can see the books all lined up in an image on my website, prophecydepot.com. And if they really want to know where America is, or maybe not at all, listed in Bible prophecy, they want to plug into that, maybe get those books, but definitely hear those interviews. Remember that America primarily, it's God who establishes nations for his purposes. And America was primarily established for two purposes. One was to get the gospel out into the nations of the world. We were given appropriate resources and bounty to do that, and we did that. And we are still doing that. We've got missionaries that still travel about, and we have great teaching here in the States, prophecy teaching and devotional teaching and things like that. We are still we have freedom of worship. That's what we were founded upon. Now, that's very important, but we were also called upon to be a safe haven for the Jewish people. And we have done that. We've had Jewish communities come to our country throughout the past couple centuries, and there's large contingencies of Jewish communities in New York and Los Angeles, etc. But we were also instrumental in establishing the nation of Israel. Our president at the time, Harry S. Truman, in 1947, was one of the strongest individuals pushing for the resolution, the partition plan to be passed, Resolution 181, was called for Israel to become a nation. So, you know, we have been instrumental in the safe haven of the Jews and the establishment of the nation of Israel and a supporting entity for the existence of the nation of Israel. But the concern is, as you brought up earlier, are we starting to flip on that? Are we starting to get on the wrong side of blessing Israel? And that is what Americans need to be concerned about, because God has plans for Israel in the end times. And we're starting to see Bible prophecies, in my estimation, set up and perhaps come true. And these protests may ultimately provoke the fulfillment of these prophecies in the very near future. Now, let me give you one example that will probably catch your listeners' attention if they're paying attention to these Arab protests. Especially this coming protest that's being called for, where Palestinians are to march against the borders of Israel on Nakba Day. And it says in Obadiah 1:7, all the men in your confederacy, referring to a Palestinian confederacy, shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. A confederacy spoken of, there's two confederacies that seem to be involving the Palestinians, according to Bible prophecy, Arab confederacy. I talked about one of them in Psalm 83. I believe Obadiah 1:7 is another connecting passage dealing with an Arab confederacy regarding the Palestinians. It says, your confederacy, drive you to the border, peace with you, deceive you, prevail against you. It goes on to say you or yours seven times in combination, suggesting that the Palestinians play a key role. And it's being said here that they will be forced to the borders. And we find out in subsequent passages in Obadiah that this confederacy is formed against Israel, and therefore the borders we're addressing here are Israel's borders. So we're actually seeing prophecy starting to find its fulfillment here. Of course, this prophecy is more than just a bunch of Palestinians coming to the borders, but if you understand the whole Palestinian plight, and the very things that they're protesting. These refugees want to have Palestine. They want to have their own state. The Arab states, the surrounding, sharing common borders with Israel, like Syria and Lebanon and Jordan, they do not want these refugees to assimilate into their nations. They will not offer them citizenry. They want them where they are. They want them deployed as frontline human landmines that are willing to blow themselves up and force them to the borders of Israel to do their dirty work against Israel and maintain clean hands by using terrorism and things like that. So, you know, this is going to morph into, in my estimation, a very volatile situation, and we could actually have these Bible prophecies come. We have had inklings of this Arab Confederacy going on since 1948, 1967, 1973. The attitude of hatred against the Jews has definitely been there, but I believe it's going to morph into one final war, where you've got Psalm 83 and Obadiah here that are going to find fulfillment. And that is a big situation, because the prophecies surrounding that are enormous. They involve Syria. For instance, Isaiah 17:1 says, "The burden against Damascus, behold, Damascus shall cease to be a city. It shall be a ruinous heap." If that's connected to Psalm 83, and if that's about to happen, and Syria is a very volatile place right now, protests are still going on, bloody, violent protests. Syria is a vowed enemy of Israel. Syria has the most advanced gun missiles in the world. They have chemical weapons that could come into Israel. This is a very volatile situation. Syria is Damascus is the capital of Syria. It dates back to the time of Abraham. There's approximately 4 to 5 million people in and around Syria in its metropolitan area. If that ceases to be a city, and Israel seems to be responsible for that, according to the other passages in Isaiah 17, and Israel has the technologies to destroy Syria presently, nuclear technology. If we see that happen, and we have Syrians flooding the desert sands of Iraq and Jordan, we got problems. We got a big issue in the Middle East, a humanitarian crisis, probably a pending oil war that would come out of that. And as America is struggling to get back on its feet economically, that's the last thing we need. So I'm very concerned that this Arab Spring could morph into a catastrophic scenario of global and biblical proportion.
Bill, this might sound academic to you, but to the listeners, perhaps not. Why aren't we hearing about this in the mainstream media? Why is this Arab Spring being painted as a good thing as opposed to what it could very well be, or what we believe it to be?
Well, you're in the media, so you probably could help answer that question. But the media does appear to be a bit managed. It does appear to be leaning on the liberal side. You're going to get reported areas that demonstrate the idea that there's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, democracies that should spring forth out of these Arab protests. Anything that is non-bloody, like the things that were going on with Egypt or Tunisia, that tends to get more coverage than what's going on in Syria. Of course, it's hard to get into Syria as well.
Right.
But, I don't believe... not all medias are not getting to the crux of the matter. Glenn Beck has been reporting on this feverishly over the last week. It's been some really good programs. We've got to get the biblical worldview into the arena here, because really Arab democracy springing forth in the Middle East would be highly unlikely, because the only democracy that's worked in the Middle East is Israel's. Power shifts occur in the Middle East through assassinations, revolutions, military coups, rigged elections, as in the case of Iran. The likelihood of this becoming a kumbaya katata, or whatever the word I'm looking for, scenario is nil. The likelihood that the Muslim Brotherhood is going to hijack this, and Hezbollah and Hamas, especially since now Egypt has opened that Rafah crossing. Now Hamas can be more armed and dangerous. They don't have to smuggle their weapons through tunnels anymore. They can just ride them in on, armored vehicles or whatever. I'm being a little facetious. But Hezbollah has fired over 300 to 400 rockets at this point in 2011 into Israel. It's forced Israel to deploy prematurely its Iron Dome defense system. And that has worked great. That's their short-range missile defense system that will take out missiles in a 45-mile range. But they're trying to get about 10 to 15 more of those batteries in place. And why is that? Because they're concerned that there's an existential threat that surround them. And so little tiny Israel, the size of New Jersey approximately, is dealing with major issues. And God, I believe, to be honest with you, I don't think God is going to tolerate it much longer. He has plans for Israel. He's regathering them into the nations of the world according to Bible prophecies. They can pick those up in Ezekiel 36 verses 22-24, Ezekiel 37 verses 11-12, Isaiah 11:11. I mean, there's numerous prophecies that talk about how God would reestablish the nation of Israel and bring Jews out of the diaspora from the nations of the world into Israel. A major miracle, not being caught by much of the world or much of the church.
Well, Bill, look, I want to thank you very much for sacrificing your time and your busy schedule. This is a good place to end. I hope to have you back if you're willing, and for a longer time. That was Bill Salas, founder of ProphecyDepot.com. Folks, we're going to be back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Do you have IRS problems? You owe back taxes, being audited, have unfiled returns? Has an IRS agent visited your home or place of business? If not, there's a good chance they will. The IRS will pursue you relentlessly. Fortunately, there's Taxmasters, and they can solve your IRS problems. Write this number down, 1-877-869-4829, or simply 1-877-869-4TAX. That's the number 4 and the word tax, T-A-X. You do not want to represent yourself with the IRS. The professionals at Taxmasters have helped literally thousands of people just like you. The IRS has stepped up their collection efforts, so now more than ever, you need the professionals at Taxmasters to solve your problem. Call right now.
Hi, folks. This is Lori Roth for Taxmasters. Listen up. This is a very serious matter.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the very fabulous Friday edition of The Roth Show. I'm Doug Hagman, sitting in for the quite busy Lori Roth, who is taking the night off. So I'll be at the helm for the remainder of the program, the remainder of the 3 hours. I just wanted to extend my personal thanks to Mr. Bill Salas, again, the founder, the owner, the operator of ProphecyDepot.com. And his last name is S-A-L-U-S, Salas. Just put his name in the search engine, and it'll direct you to the ProphecyDepot.com. I've got to tell you, I follow his website. I've got his book, Ladies and Gentlemen, Israel Stein. Folks, if you don't have it in your library, or if you're curious about where things are headed, that book is invaluable. It is an absolute necessity to get and to read. Otherwise, on his website, ProphecyDepot.com, a lot of questions can be answered by watching the videos, going to the links, and listening to him on various other programs as well as his own. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back after these short messages for the final segment of the first hour. Stay tuned.
No, this is not American Idol, so keep your shirt on and keep your powder dry. Dr. Lori Roth will be back in just mere moments.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to The Roth Show and hanging in there. This is the final segment of the first hour, and as I said earlier, I'll be manning the platinum microphone here at the East Coast studios of The Roth Show for the remaining part of the program. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I'm also responsible for putting up the archives for the program. This program will be made available once I do that, and that'll be tonight, because I think what Bill Salas had to say about what's taking place in the Middle East, specifically the Arab Spring and what's going on, what is rapidly morphing into Liberate Palestine Summer. The mainstream media paints it as all freedom-loving, democratic move, push toward democratic, environs, when in fact we know it's proven that democracy and Islam cannot coexist. It can't coexist in America, and certainly it cannot coexist in the Middle East. And we know there is a full frontal assault on the nation of Israel by the Palestinians. And as a matter of fact, Barack Hussein Obama is part of that. Now, we'll be getting into a little bit more of that the next hour as the program unfolds. Let me explain what I've got coming up here. The second hour, I've got some information that I want to impart with all of you about my investigation and my findings with respect to the Obama eligibility issue. If you think it's over, it's not. There has been a private criminal complaint filed with the FBI. By by Dr. Jerome Corsi. I've been in contact with Billy Bear. In fact, I was on his radio program last week talking to him about various issues, about the Social Security number, about Obama's Social Security number, fraudulent Social Security number, in my estimation, and some other matters. So we'll be getting into that the second hour. In the third hour, my research assistant, Joe Hagman, who's also my son, who works with me, will be joining me for the part of the third hour, or as much of the third hour as possible, because he also is involved in a lot of the research that we do here at the Northeast Intelligence Network. National security issues, issues of problems here on the home front. So it's going to be an information-packed program, one that you will want to tell your friends about and certainly download once the archives are up at therothshow.com. And that's where to go, therothshow.com. And, folks, I'm going to make this interview, this first hour, available also at my website, which is homelandsecurityus.com. And just to add the disclaimer, look, I'm not a radio talk show host by profession, although I do play one on the radio. I am an investigator by profession for 26 years. So if I sound a little bit, if I sound less polished than Lori, that's why. And we are going to open the phone lines for your calls, comments, and concerns beginning now at 877-999-ROTH. That's 877-999-7684. Taking your calls, concerns, questions about this or other matters beginning at the top of the next hour. Stay tuned.
You know by now that God, country, and our moral heritage are not for sale, and our great country needs your fervent prayers. Talk to your friends. Talk to your enemies. Spread the word about The Roth Show. Check out Lori's articles, archives, and great sponsors. Go to therothshow.com. Remember to pray for our country, and remember to be back next time, right here for The Roth Show with Dr. Lori Roth.
Have you ever consumed protein powder supplements? I have, and all of them don't taste that good. Have artificial flavors, sweeteners, or unhealthy sugars. About a year ago, I was introduced to a new protein powder that changed my experience. This protein powder made me feel noticeably better, and it tasted more delicious than any drink I've ever had. Here's the experience of one satisfied user named Rich.
The term best of all worlds has been belabored to death, and yet I've just discovered a whey protein powder that truly deserves to be called best of all worlds. Best taste by far. Best results by far. You almost feel like you're cheating that something that tastes that good could be so good for you. Thank you, Stephen, and Cocoon Nutrition. One World Way truly is the best of all worlds. The only way for me. Yours truly.